Hello, this is Dorothy.
Hi, Dorothy. It's Ruth calling from Family First Care. How are you?
Sorry, I've just been running a little busy here. Okay, you know, you didn't answer me anyway. Perfect. Okay, so hey, I'm up to speed.
Okay, just calling. I got a quick question. I know you were working with Monica on the paperwork, but I have a different question. I wanted to know who the power of attorney for Robert is.
Well, his sister is the power of attorney currently, but he doesn't really need or want a power of attorney, I don't think, at this point.
Oh, okay. But I guess she signed up with insurance, right? She is the legal one?
I guess so. I don't know.
Okay. Okay, meaning we can still contact you on him, but we just want it on the records. You know, we want something on, you know, we need to have it on file just to know who the legal power of attorney is. So what's his sister's name?
Okay, so the power of attorney that I have, that I had been on originally, that power of attorney in and of itself says, if I'm unwilling or unable to perform these duties, then she is. So she's listed on it as well. So do I need to, like, do something to say I'm unwilling to be the power of attorney? I mean, she's...
So right now, so I'm just trying to understand, right now you are the power of attorney?
No. Once he comes home, I'm not going to be his power of attorney.
Oh, okay.
Because I've been told I can't be his power of attorney. And
right, that's why I wanted to make sure.
Correct. But that being said, his sister, I mean, while, again, you know, at the end of the day, it would be lovely for him to have an active power of attorney. Mm-hmm. But I stepped in because his sister was not was not assisting him in his needs in any way, shape, or form, nor has she visited him. They are not close.
No.
But she also advised for his care plan to take a turn that was in exact opposite of his wishes. Let me give you the details.
Sure.
Listen, I won't make it lengthy just because it is, I want every single person who can hear this to hear this, and I want each of you to report it in whatever way you are able to. I truly do, because this was a massive violation of his rights. So long story short, he had broken his hip in May. He went in for surgery. He was moved to a rehabilitative facility that ran out his 100 days of short-term rehab. During that time, I tried to contact Garden Springs Rehab and asked to speak with him. They told me he did not know who I was. He did not call me. He did not call his sister. That is all very out of character. It was unusual. It was strange. He was delivered back out of nowhere with a two-hour warning to his apartment, and he was in very terrible condition. He was clearly sick, and it turned out that he had a very significant pneumonia, which really wasn't even diagnosed properly until later on, but digressing, he was sick when he got home. So not only was he sick, nobody had ordered a evaluation for what we're doing now, right, to have a caretaker at home with him, nor had done a safety plan, cleaned his place, gotten him food, nothing. And he had OTPT scheduled. I spoke with the Bayada people. I started the process of getting this all set up to be his caretaker. At that time, he was still ambulatory. He was still very independent, but he was actually sick. So I brought him to the hospital, and this is where things went bad. I took him to Jefferson Abington Hospital ER through the ambulance. I went and sat with him, had a great ER experience. He was transferred to a room. I came back, not the following morning on Friday, but Saturday, and he was telling me he was going to be released to go back home. I asked for patient advocacy and spoke with his doctor. I had a lovely conversation with Bob and his doctor in the room together. I explained to the doctor that Bob's condition was not safe to be at home today alone. I had work. I was willing to help Bob. I was willing to be a caretaker for Bob. but Bob needed to stay at the hospital as an admitted patient or be moved somewhere safely until the family first evaluation could take place, which was scheduled for September 25th, only a couple weeks away. Everything went very bad from there. When that was all great, doctor was in complete agreement. Bob was in complete agreement when we were having a slow, patient conversation that he could understand and keep up with. So now by Monday, I've had nonstop problems with his very bitched up nurse, Miss Tracy, and I'm making complaints that there is no access for him to a telephone or patient advocacy and stuff. That is a reasonable complaint to make. And all of a sudden on Monday morning, here comes patient advocacy. I am a supervisor of security. I knew exactly what they were going to do. I had already premonished this and called the police and reported my concerns and then had the police come out to be an unbiased observer. When the director of nurses and patient advocacy manager arrived, they did not even address me. They said to the cop, we've already spoken to his power of attorney, and she is only here in the capacity of a friend, and we want her to leave the hospital. Bob was never unconscious, incapacitated, nor was he then or has he been deemed since deemed to be dementia, Alzheimer's, not to be able to make decisions for himself. Mm-hmm. Why? Now, I already know what his sister's wishes were, because we had had discussions. She wanted him to be moved to long-term permanent care. She said, oh, no, this is too much for you to take on. We could never ask this of you. You can't be taking care of him. Oh, my God. No, no. He just needs to go to a home. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a little premature. This guy's everything's okay. So this was her personal wish. And it was in direct violation of what Bob wanted. He had everything scheduled. He gets moved over to the nursing home. From there, I go in, I ask to speak with his social worker and him together. They never schedule an appointment. At the end of the day, once we did get this all cleared up, they admitted, fully admitted, we didn't because we were told there was a conflict between you and Sandra by Sandra. Did you ever ask Bob? No. So how I played it was I just waited it out a few weeks. He was there from mid-September. In mid-October, I went up to the administration team and I said, has this man been evaluated as incompetent? They said, no. I said, okay, is he making his own decisions? Yes. Why isn't he coming home? What happened with his family first interviews? Well, he doesn't have anywhere to go home to. They don't want him there. I said, that's a bold-faced lie. I'm the landlord's daughter. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? And that is where everything changed, obviously. We then had a meeting with Bob together. They recognized they had made a huge error by not investigating this further because Bob had been saying every single day, I pay my rent. I'm fine with my landlord. I want to go home. And they were believing the words of this power of attorney when he's not incompetent or incapacitated. So from there, they started the process, and they promised he would be home by Thanksgiving. They promised he'd be home by Christmas. They promised he'd be home by New Year's. At that point, I then picked Bob up from the nursing home, drove him to the state representative's office where we were able to get this document signed so I could be his power of attorney and protect him from this situation. I do not want this responsibility. I don't want to have to be doing any of this. This is all crazy. But during the 5 months that he was there, he didn't have a sponge bath. He did not have his nails trimmed until the day I became power of attorney and I had ordered a podiatry, a psychiatry. He is now on anti-anxiety meds. All of these things, he was left suffering all of those months. I have photos. I have videos. I have his complete decline while he was held imprisoned against his will.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And nobody is helping me, honey. I also have a list of the agencies that I have reported to. I have the names of the people I have spoken with. I am, like I said, I'm a security girl and I'm a former certified nurse's assistant. I know how to document these things and exactly what I need to be collecting. And it is really, really, really horrific what has happened to this guy. And he is now a essentially bedbound patient who is physically able to get up, but he is like, it hurts, I don't feel like it, I can't, you know, type. He's just very, very down. And so I am going to bring him home, only get paid for 39 hours, and have him there 24 hours a day, and I'm going to stay in the house, store. So, you know.
Wow, that's very, very nice of you. What's your relationship with him?
I live next door to my grandfather, who is deceased. Mm-hmm. Bob has lived here for 18 years. I moved in next door 18 years ago. So the funny thing is that for the majority of this time, I certainly would not have called him any type of friend or anything. It's just, you know, the guy who lived in the basement that I waved hi to. My mm-hmm. grandfather rented out his basement to some guy my whole life. You know what I mean? Somebody lived down there. Bob's mm-hmm. been the guy for almost 20 years. When about a year before all this happened, I did kind of notice that he was going to the ER a lot more and stuff. And since the house was empty upstairs, had been for several years after the passing of my grandfather, like my brother lived here at one point for a while, and then he bought a house and moved out, and it was empty. It was just Bob here by himself. So I said to my dad, oh, why don't I just move my bedroom over there? I still have my whole house next door, and I run an animal rescue, and I've got my whole thing going on here. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it was very easy to say, well, somebody should probably be in the house with him.
Well,
he's going to be alone.
Really nice of you to do that.
Well, I get a fireplace in the living room, too. It wasn't completely unselfish at that time. You know, I was like, oh, Dad, you know, I better make sure this guy doesn't fall and no one's there to help him, you know. Blah, blah, blah. And actually, funny thing was, you know, about a year and a half later, that is what happened. He fell earlier, like 5:30 or 6:30 in the morning, going to the bathroom, tripped over his oxygen line because he has COPD and he's on 24-hour oxygen. And, he fell and he broke his hip, you know, and had to have the ambulance team come and pick him up and take him out. And it's just, you know, he's a creature of habit. Even though we weren't close, you know, he's a loner. He's an old Vietnam vet. He was never on active combat, but he is just, you know, a quiet military guy who keeps to himself mm-hmm. and does not have any friends or family really to speak of. And, he's always been that way. He goes and sits at the bar, and he comes home and sits in his room, and he's a quiet guy. So, you know, I'm sure that for him, you know, we are the closest thing he has to a family. Like, this is kind of his little quasi-family to him. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't important to us, but we were probably very important to him the whole time. And so now, you know, I've stepped up, I'm in the house with him for a year and a half. He's driving me nuts. I had to put a lockbox on the thermostat. He had my room 100 degrees one night. You know, I mean, he's crazy. But he's fun, you know, and he also appreciates, oh, he's very, I'll give him credit, man. He will clean something up or set something up for a holiday. He will call me, oh, my God, it looks beautiful. I can't believe all the work you did. That looks so great. You know, he's very, you know, very appreciative of mm-hmm. what I do for him. So it's easy to do when somebody appreciates you. But I really do, you know, I find it very egregious that Jefferson Hospital threw me out like that. When I was there as his advocate, they confused him. They started telling him I was, this man was losing his full independence. They confused him. They got him upset. He did not want to go back to any type of rehab. And I can understand why. Something very bad happened on that first 3 months stay. Clearly, he had no contact with anybody and came back next to death. So I can understand that fear. And he very adamantly just wanted to come home. But I could see very clearly that his sister was going to take control of things somehow and just move him to long-term care. What I didn't expect was for her to never visit, not even have his laundry. They weren't washing his clothes.
Oh,
I started picking up his clothes and just washing them because he had no clothes. And on the day that I did take the power of attorney, the admin said, well, there's a sign right on the door that says family doesn't. And I said, sir, why is there a sign on the door of your patient who was entered here as a long-term care patient with a power of attorney that lives in Vermont, his only family connection? You guys blatantly said you weren't even supposed to talk to me. I was just here as a little visitor. Why am I doing his laundry for you? Make it make sense, sir. What you're saying is that you set this man up in a room and you left the last patron's sign on the door. Your aides did, your staff did, whoever, somebody along the way, I hate to say it, but that's the truth, so that they didn't have to do his laundry. And he sits here with no clothes, in dirty clothes. I have multiple pieces of evidence that show how filthy he is here. And that man's ears were as red as tomatoes.
Wow.
I was like, you're lucky I haven't been reporting you, because my interest is not in criminalizing you. It is just in making sure that Bob is comfortable. So, but the fucking hospital. So that's what we got to do. I am waiting for an answer back from two places. As far as the TB test goes, I'm waiting to hear back about scheduling something at my primary practice, and I'm waiting to hear back in text from Monica, I believe was her name, about if she, if you guys make an appointment for me, to get this TB test done, then it's covered by you, I assume, and where would I go? How soon could I get in? So I just sent, that message to her, telling her that I had asked for an appointment at the primary care where I can probably just run it through my insurance. I went to urgent care yesterday and found out I would have to pay $55 out of pocket. Was like, yeah, no, forget that.
Oh, yes. Well, we send you to urgent care, and then we cover the cost. And it's we usually have, the same day or next day availability.
Okay, cool. Is Liberty Urgent Care, one that you work with?
So I'm not 100% sure. I'm not the one that does HR. I will
All right,
have,
I'll just I, tell her to make an yeah, appointment.
Yeah, I'll ask Monica to respond to that.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Now, back to what we spoke about before, I understand, the entire story that you just told me. You did mention that Bob is capable of directing his own care. I'm not sure if that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. He is. He has been this whole time, essentially.
Okay. So, you can always reach out to the insurance company. I'm sure you made them aware of the situation.
I did.
Yeah. So, they might want to remove the power of attorney.
Exactly. I don't even think that the insurance company has it, though. I didn't give it to them.
Oh, you don't even think they have it?
That's what I'm saying. The only place that has the power of attorney, as far as I know, is the nursing home. So that I could be his formal face person instead of his sister for them. Because their hands were very tied. You know what I mean? Even though he's directing his own care, they're having, at this point, clearly there's now an advocate in the building saying, I'm watching you and you're not providing what he's asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it was difficult to be the advocate to get, I got all this done with you guys and the broker, the Keystone. Everything's been finished in 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, yes, Emily from the office over there was working for the last 4 months, supposedly, on getting his Medicare to Medicaid transferred. But frankly, had I been the power of attorney, I would have gone in week one to the state rep's office and I would have had that done in one day.
Yeah.
This would never have, he would have been home for Thanksgiving had I been his power of attorney. That's the only reason why I sent on. And the power of attorney that we did still lists Sandra as the second responder, so to speak, right? It says, Dorothy, if this person is unwilling or unable to perform this duty, then this person does it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't submit it to you and I don't submit it to them or anybody else, the last thing that was ever anywhere, is it on file anywhere? I don't even know. He has a copy of it sitting on his drawer down there, that just had Sandra in the past. So
right.
I'm looking at it like this is literally nothing more than a single document that I have and Dresser Rehab has. None of the other paperwork has been forwarded without much grievance, right? So why would I, and you don't have it now. You don't, right? You don't have it. So
right, we wouldn't need any paperwork.
Point,
yeah.
He just doesn't have one. And as my hope was that we could just move forward without submitting one at all, because a lot of people don't have a power of attorney, and I don't think that his sister should be the power of attorney.
Right, it's only needed if someone is not, you know, capable or something like that.
Right, and in the case of an immediate emergency, the truth is she would not designate what he wants anyway. Mm. So what's the point? She wouldn't help. She wouldn't take him up by her. There's no benefit to him to having this person listed for him. So the sad truth is I have been, and I still am looking, I so far have not been able to find anybody who wants this type of responsibility for a stranger, essentially. And I think that actually that's what would be the most appropriate, just a unbiased, uninvolved person who could have an interview with him and say, what do you want me to do in this case? If I'm the official answer, what's your answer? And they write it down on that form is very descript, and they sign off. And if they're asked anything outside of those direct questions, they say, unfortunately, I have no information to share. And that's it. You know what I mean? And that would be a benefit to him. Outside of that, it seems to me that he should just no longer have a power of attorney and let a state, I would assume that in that case, some type of state representative or insurance representative or something is put in place that's just an unbiased person who, you know what I mean? This man has no money. He has no assets. You know what I'm saying? And if I'm here as his advocate, his live-in caretaker or close-by caretaker, whatever the case may be, at least for now, that's all he really needs is somebody who actually is respected as the person that people are working with. And in lack of a power of attorney, I would be that person, right? Mm-hmm. Like the caretaker would be first that he chose from his friendships, you know, so... And he tells everybody, Dorothy is the person, you know, speak to her. I can't just speak to her. Because he's just overwhelmed. He's lazy. He doesn't want to do it. It's not that he's not competent. He talks to me on the phone for an hour every day. He won't get on the phone with insurance and talk. I can't understand you. I can't hear you. What do you want? He's just a cranky old asshole. He has no problem talking on the phone. You know what I'm saying? It's that type of issue. So...
Right, I get it. So, you know,
yeah,
I'll,
so that's
I'll,
where I'm,
reach
I mean,
out.
Yeah,
so I'm
you guys have to tell me what we need to do, legally speaking. If he can just have none, I think that is a top preference at this moment in time, that he should just say, I no longer want a power of attorney. I will just have, isn't it called like a living directive or something, if you just kind of type out and write down what your wishes are and you just have that there on your person?
So, actually, you would need to reach out to the insurance company, Keystone. You know, you can switch it with them. You can ask them about it. I will reach out to them, too, just to confirm, see if there is a power of attorney that they have, you know, if they have paper for it or not, and see what the story is. But you can reach out to them as well, and, you know.
Yep, just find out. And then my second thought on, okay, if it is filed as I'm the power of attorney, then instead of having him have to refill out a whole new form, why don't I just go myself to the state rep and have a notarized letter stated, I, Dorothy O'Cotney, relinquish my power of attorney duty as I will now be Bob's primary caretaker.
So I'm honestly not sure how it works with insurance, with their paperwork. So you would have to ask them, yeah.
All right. No problem. I don't think I am power of attorney with, in fact, I know I'm not. No, I know I'm not. I'm sorry. Sometimes it takes my brain a minute to figure out the puzzle. I must not be on file because they would not speak to me without a verbal consent from Bob, even though because it's not on file. So you can still go ahead and ask, just, you know, hey, does he have a power of attorney on file?
Mm-hmm.
But let's not complicate any further than need be. My belief is he does not.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be perfect.
Okay,
and then if
yeah,
they need one, absolutely need one, I'll just send in the old one that only lists Sandra. But I don't even want to do that because I think that is a detriment to him, mm-hmm. and so does he.
Right, right. I get it.
Yeah, so no power of attorney is ideal if that's, like, just let me know what we need.
Okay,
if
I will let you know.
Hopefully it's nothing. Just don't submit something and it's nobody.
Yeah, so I'll check in with them and I'll let you know once I reach them, okay?
All right, sounds good to me.
Okay, amazing. We'll be in
touch. All right, thanks for all your time. It was nice chatting with you. And
my
please,
pleasure.
If you are able to forward any type of report of concern about the care he received or the, you know, misalignment of the power of attorney shit, like whatever, if there's any outlet for you guys as like a mandatory reporter or something, please, please, please do.
Okay,
it was at Jefferson Abington Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really blame the Drescher people because they just didn't know better. Jefferson knew. We were in the room together. Everybody was on the stage. So, yeah. So, I'm not... You can't hold the people accountable who didn't know. You know what I mean? But the other ones did. So,
Yeah.
Forward any complaint you can on his behalf. And it shouldn't have taken 5 months for him to get Medicaid. You know, all of these things were just really, really, really not fair. So... We don't want to see this happening to people. I don't want to see this happening to anybody. This isn't even my own family member. You know what I mean? I care generally. I would care if it happened to you. So, yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks for your time today. And appreciate all of your help. Family First has been great. No complaints with you guys at all.
Okay. That's great.
All right. Talk soon.
Yes. Bye.